This morning's responsive read has come from Psalm 6. So, if you are willing and able, would you be willing to join us? So take a Bible and open it, please, to Psalm number 6. In this edition that I have of the Authorized Version, just under the wording Psalm 6, it says, "To the chief musician on Niganoth upon Sheminith, a psalm of David." I've entitled this, "A Cry of Desperation." This is truly a very mournful song, or a mournful poem, whichever you choose. Consider the cry of verse 1. "O Lord," how often have those words fallen from our lips? Maybe in a time of crisis, maybe at the bedside of a sick loved one, or the sudden death of a loved one, or a national catastrophe. "O Lord," sometimes we may say, "Oh my God, what has happened?" A cry of desperation. But notice what the psalmist is crying for. "Rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure." Now, when you read the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, there's a portion in that 12th chapter where it talks about, "Do not despise the chastening of the Lord. For whom the Lord loveth, he scourgeth every son whom he receives." But then the writer of Hebrews says something that for some tender ears is too much to bear. If you have no chastening, then you are a bastard, or in a modern rendering, illegitimate. You're truly not his, because the Lord will only discipline his own, just like a parent will only discipline his or her child. We do not walk around in the playground correcting and spanking other people's children, lest you want to be in a lawsuit. You normally handle and correct only your child, because it is your blood, your flesh and blood, in that sense. He also says, "Have mercy upon me." Notice, "O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed." Look at verse 3. "O Lord." Notice how often those words fall from his lips. And whenever something is repeated, like in this short psalm, sometimes it's helpful to underline those words or phrases that seem to be repetitive, because there's something there in that constant repetitiveness. "O Lord, O Lord, O Lord." Notice to whom he's crying to. He's aiming his cry not at the government, not even at another person that may be next to him. And we know that David was a soldier. David was an individual who for a long time was the enemy of King Saul. King Saul was very envious and jealous of David. Matter of fact, we're currently reading in our public readings now. We're in 1 Samuel chapter 19. And there already the envy, the animosity, the hatred, and even a desire to destroy David on the part of King Saul. We are already now reading that in our public readings. So David was a man, before he was well established as the king, David was a man that was constantly on the run, hiding in a cave on several occasions, going even to live amongst the Philistines and acting as if he had a mental disease in order for them not to see him as a potential enemy. "My soul is also sore vexed, but thou, O Lord, how long?" What do you mean, how long? Lord, how long must I be in this situation? Come to my rescue, come to my aid. Notice, "Return, O Lord, deliver my soul. O, save me for thy mercy's sake." So, by the very wording here, David is in a real bad situation when this particular song, psalm, hymn, poem was composed. upon his stringed instrument. Now, verses 5. Believe it or not, verses 5 is used by some people by taking it out of the psalm all by itself and teaching a doctrine that's called soul sleeping. Because when you look at the words on the surface, for in death there is no remembrance of thee, in the grave who shall give thee thanks? The people who teach in soul sleeping arrive at that by looking at that, taking it very literal, which it is literal, but it's referring to the body. Beloved, when we die, the soul and the spirit depart from our body and go someplace, but the shell, okay, the husk that the soul and the spirit lived in for a number of decades, that's buried. We dress it up, we make it look as if the person's just sleeping, they're in a casket, they're in a coffin, or maybe they become, you know, a jar on the mantle with ashes. Yes, in that sense, the body does not sing, the body has no memory, but the soul and the spirit lives on. What did Jesus tell the thief on the cross? Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Jesus didn't go off into soul sleeping when he expired. And what does Paul tell us when he's stuck between this quandary of being with the Lord or hanging around with these churches with all their issues? What did he say? Absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And when John the Revelator, in the book of Revelation, when he sees the souls of those who have been martyred, he doesn't see people sleeping. He sees a myriad of people that no man could number singing and praising hymns. But they're out of their physical body, but the soul and the spirit is alive and well and cognizant of what's going on around them in that eternal state. So I'm just simply mentioning that as a side. I am weary with my groanings. All the night make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears. Beloved, this is a man who was going through much, much of a quandary. And maybe you have experienced something like this in your life. If you've been around the block for several decades, there may have been a time in your past, or maybe in your sometime in your tomorrows, you're going to find yourself in the same situation. It may be over bankruptcy. It may be over the death, again, a death of a spouse that you've been married to for decades. Now they're gone, and now you're all alone. Or the death of a child. Normally, parents are buried by their children. Seldom should a parent bury a child. What about a national calamity? The assassination of a world leader. Oh, the crash of a stock market, and all of our gold and silver that we hung onto was gone. What do we do? But in this case, David was on the run for his own skin. King Saul was after him. Verse 7, mine eye is consumed because of grief, it waxeth old because of all my enemies. Notice verse 7. Verse 7 is the key to Psalm 6. Why? It tells you who or what was the aggravation. His enemies. You mean to say, Pastor, that a child of God who's supposed to be compassionate and loving and tender, sweet, amiable, that such a person is going to have enemies? Yes. If you're going to be a separated person unto the Lord, and you're going to be a lover of truth and a despiser of error and false teaching, you will generate enemies. Not because you want them, but they're going to come. If you're faithful with the gospel and you're faithful to the truth, you're going to have enemies. Beloved, would you agree that Jesus was the most loving person that ever walked the planet? He was the most gracious teacher, and yet they murdered him. Okay? They murdered him. The greatest of all teachers, the greatest of all lovers of humanity, and they murdered him. Food for thought. And then finally, verses 8, 9, and 10 are important. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. That is biblical separation. David here, one of the things that David does is he separates himself from the source of his agitation. For the Lord had heard the voice of my weeping. So notice the relationship. David is more concerned about God hearing his complaint and God being mindful of his weeping, while at the same time David separates himself from the bad people. 9. The Lord had heard my supplication. Beloved, supplication has the idea of a lot of caloric spiritual energy being burnt. Supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. Let all my enemies be ashamed and sore vexed. Let them return and be ashamed suddenly. And when you do read 1 Samuel, where we're currently at now, we're going to be reading verses, the first seven verses of chapter 19 in the next hour. Eventually, King Saul will meet his faith. Will meet his doom. He will become sore vexed. But in Saul's vexation, a beautiful, loving man like Jonathan will also be killed as well. The influence of that father upon someone who was a dear and beloved friend of King Saul, King David. So there it is, a cry of desperation. And this ain't going to be the only cry of desperation in the Psalms. Maybe these particular Psalms where David's crying, we ought to number them. A cry of desperation, number one. Cry of desperation, number two. We may go that route in the Sundays to come. Well, may God choose to bless his word. Amen.